Blog Talk Radio.
Like it's the Sunday edition of Sports Time Radio, and apparently I'm going to start out on my own. But if you want to talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, you can email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. The front page, of course, is the new blog. It went up brand new yesterday. Check that out if you haven't done it yet. And, of course, you can find the blog on WordPress.com as well. But from SportsTimeRadio.com, you can get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. While you're over there, like that for us, please. We would greatly appreciate it. And, of course, the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed is at Sports Time Radio. I am also on Twitter. It is at Burktime, B-U-R-K-E. Don't forget that E, T-I-M-E. So I know that's the issue that some people have. I don't know why. It's just one of those odd things. And I do have the chat room open as well if you would like to talk to us that way. So lots of ways to communicate. And, oh, hey, Dan, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from you. I was reading an article.
I'm sorry, it's Sunday. You're not Dan. So.
Yeah, I was reading an article, ooh. And then I looked up and it was 10:50. I said, shoot, I'm late.
So you were in the bathroom reading and time got away from you?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly that, but I was reading something and it, next thing I know it was after 11. I'm like, shoot, I'm late.
So, and speaking of Dan, since I did brought him up, I would like to wish his wife a very happy birthday today, even though I'm sure neither of them are listening because Dan doesn't listen to the show unless he's here. And she hates you more than she hates me, so we're okay there. But, yeah, so happy birthday to Dan. Happy birthday to Dan's wife, Katie. Hopefully he got her something nice for putting up with him.
Why does she hate me more than you?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I think because I go to wrestling and you don't, so.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So you're not saying she likes you, she hates you less.
Were you reading a sports article that we could talk about, or?
Yeah, it was just something that actually I wanted to talk about on Friday, and we didn't have time. We've been following the 49ers in our off season with Vernon Davis and Alex Boone, and they just awarded Joe Staley with a 2-year contract extension, which he'd been wanting, so he can remain with the team for additional 2 more years, which they announced at the opening of their new stadium. And I just thought it was interesting. This guy wanted a new contract, went to all the off-season activities, all the volunteer things, the mandatory mini-camp he showed up for, and they gave him an extension. And the two guys that still have 2 years left on their contract that have been holding out all off-season have still yet to get new paper.
Well, how many years does Boone have left? I don't know his deal, but I know Davis has multiple years left on that contract, right?
Yeah, I believe they're both 2 years left on the contract. And
okay.
He has said
repeatedly,
don't hold out. We won't negotiate with you. And the guy who didn't hold out, they gave new contract to the guys who are holding out, they are still waiting.
Well, there was a report earlier in the week that Davis may not end up holding out. So I guess we'll have to see how that plays out. Let's see, here it is. This is where see what's something called looks like something called Fantasy Toolbox is reporting that Oh, no. Now, see, the headline to the article said Davis wasn't going to hold out. But when you actually open up the article, it says that he is considering holding out. So I don't know. I guess they must have just screwed up their banner ad there because it was wrong. But since you brought up 49er news, how do you feel about the Alden Smith 12 days of work crew for his DUI instead of jail?
I you know what? I think that's probably okay. I just can't imagine anything more humbling for a guy like that than to be on a work crew for 12 days. So I think that might help him out a lot more than jail. Jail doesn't seem to fix people, so maybe this will do it for him.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, I mean, as overcrowded as the jails are in California anyways, it's probably better that they do this with him, because I would hate to see him get one of those goofy, you know, celebrity-type things where you go to jail for a whopping, like, 4 hours and they release you just because they don't have a spot for you. So at least let him do, you know, let him do this, or, you know, community service, or, you know, maybe he should be out working with, you know, talking to kids or something like that to help them out. But, yeah, I think this is, you know, let him pick up trash for 12 days as long as he actually does it, you know, and they don't find a way to scam the system here, which is always quite possible with these guys. So we'll, we'll see how that goes.
He's so high profile that I don't think there's any way that he's not going to, you know, be out there doing it. And if anybody finds out where they're at, can you imagine all the pictures and the stories and all the videos of him out there picking up trash?
Well,
it's going to be humbling for him.
There were a couple instances of celebrities. I know one was like a rapper in the 80s in England, and I think Chris Brown even did this, where they sent lookalikes to their community service so they wouldn't have to do it.
Huh?
Yeah. So, you know, you basically just pay a guy. Well, you know, Jose Canseco did that with one of his fights. He had a fight scheduled, and he sent his brother Ozzy to take the fight because they're twins. And the only reason somebody figured it out was because Ozzy doesn't have the same tattoos as Jose.
Huh.
So there are always those people who are, you know, attempting to scam the system one way or another. You know, if it's picking up trash on the highway, or even, you know, whatever kind of boxing match Jose Canseco had going on. So,
yeah, I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope the Niners are smart enough to say, hey, look, buddy, you know, let's get this done, get it out of the way, don't make the mistake again. You know, you got a break. You know, they could have really came down on him, but I'm assuming it was his first offense. So, you know, we shall see. He's had an interesting, you know, about a year and a half here. So, you know, with the little tirade at the airport and some of the other issues he's had, we'll have to see how he ends up panning out for the 49ers. But, you know, the sad part is even if he's a complete whack job, he can play football, and, you know, a team is always going to want him.
Yeah, but, you know, the good thing is the 49ers seem to have a little bit more class, or at least they're trying to with stuff, with the way that they're dealing with these free agents and trying to teach them to be professionals and rewarding the guys who are and not, the, you know, and not doing anything with the guys who aren't being professional. So it'll be, you know, hopefully they'll be the same way with, you know, with this thing. Because otherwise Alden Smith, the NFL could come down on him and they could hit him in his livelihood.
Yes. Well, you know, there are limits to what, you know, the NFL can do depending on what he's done. You know, there is a formula they use to figure those things out, so they can't get too nuts with it. But, yeah, there's a... You know, there's all kinds of issues he can run into. You just hope these guys realize that, you know, they're lucky enough to be this good athletically, you know, to play professionally. And, you know, you should be smart enough to not want to lose that, and you just kind of hope these guys figure it out.
Now, I saw Roger Goodell says that next year's NFL draft is now down to two cities, L.A. and Chicago. If it's in Chicago, are you going to make the trip out there to go see it?
No, you know, I've never really understood the whole I'm going to buy tickets to go to the draft because, what do you do at the draft? You watch guys in suits sit at the table and write on cards for your team to pick?
I was just curious.
You know, is that exciting to you? And that, I believe tickets are a little pricey. If I remember right, I mean, maybe we can get some hands, get our hands on some and scalp them. But I that doesn't seem like something I would enjoy. I mean, I can't even watch the BS between picks on TV. Imagine what it would be like if you were there live.
And, Sports Time Radio does not condone illegal scalping of tickets. Opinion is shared by the Big Jack only and nobody affiliated with Sports Time Radio.
The opinions given on the show are not those of Sports Time Radio or Sports Time Radio Incorporated, even though I don't think we're incorporated, but it sounded good. So
it sure did.
I would consider going if I could sit within range of being able to throw stuff at, like, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, because I would really enjoy that. But, I just like to see how much stuff I could get in Mel Kiper's hair before anybody noticed.
Yeah, then the NFL would come and take you away. We'd never see you again.
Yeah, like that. Like, you guys act like that's a bad thing. I do, though, on one hand, I do think this is a good idea by the NFL to move the draft around like this. I found L.A. being an odd choice because, I understand the season hasn't started yet, but do they have a team yet?
No.
Okay. I thought maybe it was just me, and maybe they moved one into L.A. just so they could have the draft. So I was a tad baffled by that.
I was thinking you could do it, I'm going through pros and cons as we're talking about it right now, and I'm going, I thought L.A. was weird just because there's no team, but they really want a team in L.A., and they've been trying to do it for a long time, so maybe to the NFL that makes some sense. But could you, and whatever city they end up in that has a franchise, I think there would be a lot of excitement around it, but you do one of two things. You either go to whoever won the Super Bowl, and you have it there, and I think then the fans would be super excited about it, or whatever team has the number one draft pick that year gets or hosts it, because everybody would be there waiting for the first round pick, and it would be exciting for that city, I think.
Yeah, but if they're going to give it to the team that wins the Super Bowl, well, maybe I would go, because we'd probably be going to Seattle for 4 or 5 years in a row now, wouldn't we?
Maybe.
Sorry, you walked into that. I couldn't help that. I had to get that one in there. But it would be interesting if they did it something like that. But the problem is, they're only going to want this in major metropolitan cities. So you have to wonder if they'll allow Arizona to host it. Would they take it to Phoenix? While it is a big city, it's not, the marquee type of thing.
I think whatever you want, there's going to be huge money in it regardless. I don't know that you're making much more money being in radios, being in New York versus, even Indianapolis or something, which is a smaller city as far as the big, as far as the big ones go, because you're still going to be able to charge the same for tickets. You're going to, everything's going to be the same. You're still going to have the same revenue coming in. New York, I don't think New York changes versus Indianapolis of the sponsorships and stuff. So why wouldn't you? Where is the advantage for money for you? You get a venue that's just as big in Indianapolis as you can in New York. So maybe I'm naive on this. I just don't know where the extra money is to keep it in the big cities.
There's really not any more, and Dan and I actually had this discussion, last week. With a few exceptions, there really are no what you would call small market teams anymore. When it comes to especially the NFL, because you could, you know, I mean, even if you went, obviously, you know, if you wanted to take it to New England, you wouldn't do it in Foxborough. You would do it in Boston, which, mm-hmm. you know, wouldn't have a problem drawing. And, you know, I mean, I you know, your fans are going to turn out. I mean, the NFL fans are just nuts as it is. And, you know, they come out to support their team, you know, regardless. So I don't think it is, but you know how these, you know, major sports, you know, deals get. They want what they consider the major markets, which, you know, work out to be New York, L.A., Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a poll right now on ESPN.com, and it's under this thing called Sports Nation, and it says where should the 2015 NFL draft be held? And so I voted for Chicago, and then after you vote, they give you the results. And there's been 55,565 votes cast so far, and 55% of people are voting for Chicago at this point.
Huh. So, yeah, with the exception of the weather, you know, and of course, well, the draft is, what, May? So,
yeah,
of course, then again, in Chicago, that doesn't mean we can't get a foot of snow. But, yeah, you know, I mean, other than that, I don't understand why you would want to go to L.A. I mean, I don't want to go anyplace that doesn't have a team. You know, I mean, if you're going to do that, well, hell, let's just go to Vegas and, you know, really make a weekend out of it.
Or hell, why don't they just go, they're trying to grow the market overseas. Why don't we just go to London and have it?
Well, don't be surprised. It's probably going to end up there one day. I did see a quote. I don't know if it was from Goodell or another NFL executive. They're saying 5 to 10 years before there's a London franchise. So
yeah, it's going to be the travel for that is going to be interesting.
Yeah, you know, the logistics are definitely going to, you know, it's going to be one of those things where when they come over here to play, they're going to have to play multiple road games. Because you just can't go back and forth. You know, you can't go home and away like some teams can. Because that, yeah, you know, I mean, they complain that, you know, when Seattle goes to the West Coast or vice versa, when teams go to Seattle, that the travel is rough. Imagine going to London.
Yep. It's an 8-hour difference, so that is really going to mess with you. I don't know what the flight is, but so you're going to have, you know, can you imagine, you're going to have to, first of all, play multiple road games. You're going to have a facility here locally in the States that the London team can use when they're here. And if you ever get two teams, then I imagine that one team's only going to be able to travel at the same time because they're going to want to be able to use those facilities
yeah.
and that they have in place, because you're going to need some place local to play. And you imagine, you know, 8 weeks out of the year, you're on the road away from your family.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that, you know, sadly, you know, be the price you play to, you know, pay you to play in the NFL. But I guess my question would be, could a team like that attract a marquee free agent? You know, I mean, if you're, I'm trying to think of somebody who may come up here in free agency. You know, but, yeah, you know, if you're, you know, a Jimmy Graham or a Drew Brees or even, you know, Vernon Davis, say he doesn't get his contract, he plays out 2 years, he becomes a free agent, would London interest you as a team?
You know, I think it would depend on your situation. I think it could. But, you know, the bigger question that I have is when they expand, they're going to expand by two teams. They've already said that, I believe. That you can't expand one team. So I remember when they went through the expansion last time and the Texans came on board, the Texans were bad for a long time. It took them a long time to build that franchise. Is there enough talent in the NFL to support two additional franchises?
You know, it drains the talent pool, but it's kind of like when – you know, any sport expands, you know, you just kind of stretch out that talent. You know, I mean, they've accused baseball of this for years when you see some of the pitching that's out there now. But, I'm still of the belief that I think that's more how the pitching is developed now than what it used to be. But, yeah, you wonder, you know, how thin can we get this? You know what I mean? When you expand to two teams, are they both European teams, or where does the other one go? Are they praying for L.A. at that point in time?
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't think that they would start with two teams overseas right away, but
Well, now, remember, we had an entire league over there that didn't work out. I mean, I get it. There were no marquee players in it. It was just more or less kind of a developmental league. But it went nowhere. So, I mean, are the marquee players enough to draw?
I think so.
You know, regular interest? I know when, like when you go over once a year, that's a different story. It's an event. When you have eight home games, you know, what's that?
You know, the question wouldn't be, would they draw initially? I think the longevity would be what you'd have to question. I think it would be unique. People would be on board. You'd get season ticket sales would be a lot. If your team is bad, though, that's where you're going to have the problem is can a new market sustain a team that, like the Texans, you know, like Houston had to do, you know, where they were bad for a long time. And I just remember those commercials where it was David Carr, you know, and they were coming up to the draft, and David Carr was behind center, and there was nobody else on the line, and the tag was, what does your team need? And he'd hike the ball, and the whole defensive line would come through and sack him. I don't know if you remember those commercials when they were, you know, when they had just, you know, expanded, and David Carr was, you know, behind center, but could a new market sustain a team that's bad for a while?
Well, you know, sadly, that was pretty accurate for David Carr as it was, because didn't he get sacked like 60 times or something this season or something like that?
Yeah, because he had nobody on the line to protect him. So I'm just wondering, you get a sport that's, it's a new market for them, and to develop a team, it's going to be, you know, the rules for expansion mean that you're not going to have very many good players. You're going to be developing guys, and you're going to be, you know, building. And can the team or can the city withstand the building process? Because they're just going to get slaughtered for a long time. There's going to be,
Carolina got good quickly when they came into the league. You know, they did a really nice job of building that team, and they got good really fast.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you have a situation like that, I think it would be okay, but, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, you've got to get whoever owns it has to get the right people in there. And, you know, that obviously is going to be the key, because they're going to have to make these decisions on, you know, who is, you know, going to come in and, you know, run things and how we're going to build this team. And, you know, yeah, it could sink badly, though.
So I think that's the danger, because you're not going to move an existing team over there.
No, even though they haven't talked, you know, Jacksonville has kind of hinted that they would go, you know, so. But then again, you're still getting a team that's getting its brains beat in every week as it is, so.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I think Seattle has
an interesting future here, and they have a lot of possibilities, but the question is longevity in a new market.
Yeah, you know, and I don't understand why, you know, they never thought of, you know, maybe Montreal. You know, I think that might be, you know, far enough away from everybody to where you could go there and put a team. You know, because I know that, you know, the rumor today is they're talking about John Bon Jovi, one of your favorite rock singers, is working with a group located in Toronto, and they want to buy the Bills. But
yeah,
the NFL doesn't want them to move to Toronto. So
yeah, I saw there's a headline today actually on NFL.com, and it's on ESPN. I've got the article here. It says the Toronto group led by John Bon Jovi reportedly is committed to keeping the Buffalo Bills in Western New York, and they're not going to relocate the team.
So, yeah, well, that'll be interesting. I mean, I think he does or he did own an Arena League franchise. So he has some ownership experience. And, you know, I know they haven't had too many hits lately, but if he saved his money from the 80s, he should be okay, right?
Yeah, I think he's fine. He's been making money hand over fist for a long time. He's got a little machine in his basement, and he just prints it.
So, and again, we don't condone counterfeiting on Sports Time Radio. That's just, you know, so actually we probably don't condone anything we actually talk about on this show, but that's a different story. But yeah, I haven't seen who else is part of that ownership group. Obviously he's the big name they're going to run out there, but I don't care. As long as they don't move the team, I think the team should stay where it is.
Here, I've got the list for you of people who are in the group.
Cool.
Larry Tannenbaum and the Rogers family. Tannenbaum is the chairman of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which controls NHL Maple Leafs and NBA's Raptors. The Rogers family includes Edward Rogers, who is deputy chairman of Rogers, the Toronto Communication Giant. And then then Bon Jovi. So that's who it is. So there's three people in this group, it looks like.
Well, isn't that the naming rights to the Blue Jay Stadium, aren't they? Are they still the Rogers Center or whatever they were calling it? So I'm assuming family.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it sounds like they got a lot of powerful people from Toronto in this group. So I wonder if that means they would try to play more games in Toronto. You know, the Bills usually play one home game a year there. You know, they had been for the last couple of years. But you wonder if maybe they would push for more.
Yeah, I hope they leave the Bills where they're at.
Yeah. So, if Al Davis owned the team, he would move them to Toronto and then move them back the next year. But that's, just kind of how that goes.
Now, did you see just one other thing? We were talking about the 49ers unveiled their new stadium, the Levi Center, this week. And during the press conference, Roger Goodell had said that the Raiders were welcome to share the new facility with the 49ers instead of them having to rebuild, them build a new stadium because it's, right there in the Bay Area for both teams, so they could have an arrangement like, the Giants and the Jets had for so long. The Raiders have come out and said they don't want to share the 49ers facility, but the 49ers spent it was obscene amount of money on this. And people are going to be looking for the taxpayers to flip the bill on this or share on the bill. Why shouldn't they play at the Levi Center if you can have one big stadium that the taxpayers have helped finance and not have to put out all this extra money, especially with the way the economy still, it's rebounding, but it's still struggling. And there's all these townships that are having so much problem with money. Why would you put that burden on your fans?
Well, you actually can understand this from a very personal level because you have two girls who are about the same age. You want your own.
Yeah.
Just bottom line and simple. You want your own. All right. Well, the music means that we have less than a minute live to go on the show. There is, of course, a 15-minute overrun in the Blog Talk archives. You can jump into blogtalkradio.com, hunt down Sports Time Radio. The name of today's show is hopefully the broadcast goes out in reference to some of the oddities we've had the last couple of days trying to do the show. But as always, thanks for listening live. Dan and I are back on Tuesday at 5. Well, I'm here at 5. Dan will be here sometime during the broadcast, we hope. But as always, check out sportstimeradio.com, the Twitter feed, the Facebook page, read the blog, everything else that goes to the show, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Well, thanks for listening live.
Roll out. Roll out.
All right. Since I know how wonderful you are with Twitter, did you check the tweet I sent you yesterday?
I saw a bunch of tweets come through yesterday. It depends on which one you're talking about.
Well, did you see the one referring to Shelby Miller going to the bullpen?
No, I did not see that one, but I'm not surprised.
Shelby Miller has been removed from the Cardinals rotation, and he will pitch out of the bullpen for the time being. So that's been fun stuff for us with him this year, and now I guess we can just bury him on the bench somewhere, and we don't have to worry about him.
We can put him in the bullpen.
We can, at the bottom of the bullpen, because God only knows what's going to happen to him there. But, yeah, that was a interesting thing. When I saw that kind of fallout, I was like, ah, great, here we go. So.
But on a high note, our other Cardinals pitcher, Lance Lynn, had a very solid outing against the Dodgers on Friday.
Yeah, but sadly we didn't start him, so...
Nope, we started our guy Alfredo Simon, and he got roughed up by the Yankees.
Luckily, he only gave up a couple earned. I think he gave up 4 or 5 runs, but only 2 were earned. And, yeah, I was a little surprised he pitched so poorly, but then Wade Miley bounced back for us and had a good outing against the Cubs.
Yeah, he hasn't lost since June 1st, so he's been on a big roll for the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks are, they're not going to get back in the race, but they're climbing out of the cellar. Colorado is now trailing them in the standings, so they're moving up. You know, maybe they can, you know, get some momentum going in the next year and have a positive end of the season.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember. I don't think we got to talk about the Houston Street deal, did we?
It happened. Was it Friday night, or I thought it was Saturday that they announced the deal?
I think, you know, the rumors were out there Friday night, and I think it became official Saturday. Four prospects to the Padres for Houston Street and a minor league pitcher. But definitely something the Angels needed. They needed the closer. You know, they had Fieri to start, and he didn't work out, and they were going with Joe Smith, who was doing okay. But, you know, I mean, in the kind of would-you-rather scenario, do you take Joe Smith, who hasn't done it in his career, or Houston Street, who has a history of doing it?
I think you have to take Houston Street, and it's an addition that they needed. I don't want to say they're a surprise team, the Angels, but I didn't think they were going to play this well. I thought they were going to be more like last year, and the Rangers just have not existed this year, and they're going to be competing with the Angels or with the A's for the rest of the year, and they're probably going to be in the playoffs in a wild card position, so they needed to bolster that. I think that's the one piece that they were missing, so is their lockdown closer.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, he's had a history of injury problems, but he is, I know he was 24 of 25 in save opportunities with the Padres. And, you know, San Diego doesn't lose anything by giving him up. They're not going anywhere. And apparently, you know, a couple of the prospects were high ranking, whatever that means to you. You know, you deal with it with how you want to deal with it. But, you know, we'll see what washes out for them there. It could be interesting. Obviously the Rangers just got killed by injuries, you know. So nothing you could really do about that.
And when you're a team like the Padres, so even though they're just prospects, are huge. You know, they can't afford to go out and get free agents, so they have to build, you know, from within. And so this hopefully will help their cause, and maybe, you know, it's a team that I thought last year was on the rise, and this year they took a step back. Maybe next year they can, you know, jump up again. But, it was a good thing. I think it was a good move for them because Houston Street didn't do them any good.
No, you know, I mean, obviously he was, you know, closing down games for him, you know, which is a big positive. But, yeah, just kind of you know, what really good is it going to do you in the end, you know, so.
Yeah, and then they moved Houston Street.
Probably worked out for the best.
They announced a trade, and then the Padres go out and hit 4 home runs at home yesterday, which I wondered how often that happens in their history, you know, at Petco Park.
Yeah, probably not very often, but, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those odd situations. You know, one of those odd things just kind of pops up every now and then. So we will see how it goes. But, you know, that's just how things work out. But here, I want to play a new game with you. I've been working on games because I know how much you enjoy playing games.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a numbers game. You're going to give me a number here. So you figure just about every team has a little over 60 games to go. So figure that in with your numbers when you're giving these to me. They'll have about 60-plus games or so to do this, all right?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to start with D. Gordon. I'm going to tell you that he has 44 stolen bases right now, okay? So you give me a number more or less than 70 and give me the number.
I think 67.
All right, so you're going to go with less?
Yes.
That's horrible. Just horrible. All right, well, I'm going to skip your favorite guy and go to your other favorite guy because I have another question about your favorite guy. Billy Hamilton has 38 stolen bases right now. So give me the number more or less than 65.
He's a tough one.
I'm going to go 69. All right, and then one more for stolen bases. I'm going to give you three names. Jacoby Ellsbury has 25 stolen bases. Eric Young Jr. has 25 stolen bases. And Rajay Davis has 24. Who ends up with more and what's their number?
All right, give me the names again one more time.
Ellsbury from the Yankees with 25.
Yeah.
Eric Young Jr. from the Mets with 25. And Rajay Davis from the Tigers at 25.
I think Rajay Davis.
And what's his number?
He's gonna steal 25 more bases the rest of the year, so I'll put him at 50.
That would actually be 49 for him because he has 24. So,
well, okay, I thought you said 25. Well, then he's gonna steal one more. He's gonna end up at 50.
He was one behind. The other two guys had 25. He had 24. So.
Okay.
All right, well, now we'll go to your favorite guy. Jose Altuve leads Major League Baseball with 133 hits. More or less than 200, what's the number?
60 games. 20, he's going to be more, 207.
Well, that's a lot of hits, but okay, he might do it. We'll have to see how that works out. Robinson Cano has 122 hits. He's second. So let's say buck 90. Does Cano get to 190 hits?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll get 190. He'll be in the 190s. He'll surpass 190.
Oh, okay. And then the last one here for hits, we have Adam Jones of the Orioles, Nick Markakis, also of the Orioles, and your guy Casey McGee. Of course, he plays for the Marlins. They all have 118 hits right now. Who ends up with more and what's their total?
I think Casey McGee's going to end up with more because he's going to hit for better average. You're not going to get the power, but we've talked about that. He's at 118 now.
Yes, they're all at 118.
So he's going to be 175.
Oh, that's not too bad. Okay. So Paul Goldschmidt leads the major leagues in doubles with 37. All right, doubles. In his remaining 60-plus games, you know, let's see, can he get to 55?
You know, it's funny. I'm picking a number in my head when you're doing it where he's going to get, and 55 was the number that I had settled on. So I'm going to say he's going to – He'll be at 55.
At 55, okay. So, and we have Gernot Spann, who plays for the Washington Nationals, in case you didn't know that, and Mike Trout, he plays for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They both have 29 doubles. All right, so which one of these guys ends up with more and how many?
I think I have to go with Trout. I think Trout's the better hitter. I think Trout's got more power. I'm going to go with Trout on this one. And I think he's going to be low 50s, 52.
Okay. So let's go into this next category. E. Gordon has 9 triples for the year. He plays for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Brandon Crawford from the Giants has 8. Alex Rios from the Rangers has 8. Now I'm going to give you 2 more names. Michael Bourne of the Indians has 7. And then Adam Eaton of the White Sox has 7. Give me the league leader in his total.
I have to think that D. Gordon's going to be the league leader and put him at, you know, at 15.
Yeah, he's only up 1 right now. So, you know, if you get a guy like Rios in that big ballpark, you know, if he's not hitting homers, he could
yeah.
Lights him out. Of course, he did hurt his ankle yesterday, so that may hurt the idea there. But
yeah,
it sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah, Adam Eaton is an injury issue for me too. He's missed a lot of games this year with injuries, so it's just hard to bet on one of these other guys.
Yes, it is. All right. The home run category. Jose Abreu has 29. The big question for everybody is, will he get the 50? What I want to know from you is, can he get the 55?
You know, I think he'll hit 55. My bigger question that I had in my head when you were going through it was 60 would be the number. Could he get break 60? And I don't think he will, but will he hit 55? I think he will. I think he'll be a few short of 60.
He would need one of those odd Albert Bell streaks where he hit like, you know, literally 30 in a month, and I just don't think. So you think he can get to 55?
Yeah, I think he can get to 55.
By the way, on a side note, do you know it's the 20th year anniversary of the Albert Bat corked incident at Comiskey Park where they confiscated the bat and somebody from the Indians broke into the room and replaced it with another bat?
I remember that. That was such a funny story. No, I did not know that was the 20th year anniversary, but that was such a funny story.
But all right, well, Nelson Cruz is 1 homer behind Abreu. He's got 28. So can Cruz get to 50?
Yeah, I think Cruz will get to 50, but I think he's gonna be more than 1 behind Abreu when the season's over.
Well, if Cruz gets to 50 and Abreu gets to 55, he'll be 5 behind, so you'll be right there.
Yep. So I think Nelson Cruz has the opportunity to get 50.
Couple more here, see if we can get him in. Edwin Arcot and Encarnacion, say that 10 times fast, is at 26. Okay. He is hurt. So I'm going to take that in consideration and ask you, can he get to 45?
I knew he was hurt. What's the injury?
I thought I saw oblique. I may be wrong, but I thought that's what I saw.
If it's an oblique, I'm going to say no, because that's going to mess with him the rest of the season. And I think he'll be at 40 at the end of the year. I don't think he'll make 45 if it's an oblique.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't remember off the top of my head what they were saying, what they had his injury at. So it's just, all they're saying is he is still a few weeks away from playing every day. If that changes your mind,
right.
So
that's right on track with what I'm looking at. So.
All right, so the last one, as I'm getting ready to hit the music here. Mike Stanton's got 23, leads the National League. Does he win the home run title in the National League? What's his number, and will he find